In this passage, Jesus is talking about being a shepherd. He talks about a flock, and of course we are the flock, he is the shepherd. And in this passage, Jesus makes one of his great I am statements. Two of his great I am statements in this passage. So let's look at God's word together, and let's read. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus again said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we end the reading of his word there. Boys and girls, there are some little pages for you to colour in at the back. If you wanted to go now and get a little page, Richard's at the back there with some colouring in pens. If you bring them back up to your seats, we have no K4C this month. So just you go on down to the back there, girls. Down the back. See, Richard's waving his hand there. That's it. He will get you something to colour in. This is the second part of our little series, our little three-part series, our trilogy on seeing, hearing, and speaking no evil. Today, we're talking about hearing no evil. And when we consider the things that we hear, we are truly bombarded with information in these days. We still talk to one another. We still use that old-fashioned means of communication of speaking words to one another. Sometimes we still use that. It's quite sad when you go out to a restaurant, you see a family sitting across a nice meal, and all four of them, mum, dad, and a couple of kids, all got their faces stuck in their mobile phones. I think that's quite sad. But we still use our voices to talk. We still use newspapers and magazines, although those things are decreasing somewhat. There's still plenty of those that we use for information. The internet has sort of taken over a little bit, but the newspapers and the magazines use the internet as well. All of their publications can be viewed online. TV, what a phenomenon. I can remember my young life. I can remember the fourth channel coming on. Wow, four channels now. Oh, this is going to be so exciting. And now I don't even know how many channels we have, but there's maybe hundreds of channels. It used to be you needed a big piece of wire-looking thing on your chimney pot to get a signal, or in the old black and white TV in the bedroom, a coat hanger and give it a twist. That was the only way that the signal would come into your house. Now it comes through wires and all different ways. There's all different ways to watch all these different channels. Used to be you either had to listen to the news in the morning, lunchtime, tea time, or bedtime. If you missed it, then that was it. News channels are 24/7 now. Any number of them. There's at least five or six on our TV. 24-hour news. And then don't start me on social media. We can get all this information out. All the politicians and newspapers and organizations and individuals use Snapchat and tweets and posts and all sorts of media to get all these information comes out all the time, and music as well. Music is used widely to get messages out about information and opinions. Bombarded by a multitude of opinions we are these days on a multitude of subjects. And if you're reading something or you're watching something on the TV, you've got an expert who has facts, and you have this expert who's got facts, and these facts are completely contradictory. Bombarded by this stuff. Now, if that's not bad enough, we've got this new phenomenon now, fake news. So it used to be that there's that wee saying, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. So you can take a story that's true, a thing that actually happened, and you can embellish some of the details to make the lady look prettier, or to make the man stronger, or to make the thing bigger or better, or to make the situation funnier. But it's a true story. It did happen. All the people were there. You just embellish little bits of it. That's not what fake news is. Fake news is presenting lies as truth. Taking something that never happened, something that was never said, and presenting it as if it were. So if you take this fake news, build it on top of all the bombardment of all the information that we've got coming into our ears, it's almost impossible to hear no evil. But we can discern that information. We can separate that information into truth and lies. We can do that by listening to the voice of the shepherd that we've just read about in John chapter 10. In this passage, Jesus uses two agricultural illustrations, which we're not really going to go into much detail today, but in this story, there is a pen and there is a gate for the sheep to enter into this pen. The pen holds a flock, a particular flock, and we can look at that and we can translate that into the church. The flock are all the people who are saved by the grace of God. That represents the flock. You are in the pen, as it were, in the church of Jesus Christ. And the gate into this pen is the only way in. Jesus is the only way into his church to be part of this flock. And then Jesus also in this passage tells us that he is the shepherd of that flock as well, the protector of the sheep. He is the one who has laid down his life for these sheep. He will lead the sheep. Verses 11, verses 3 and 4, the sheep will follow as he leads them. Now in this passage, as I said at the start, Jesus uses this phrase, I am. I am the good shepherd and I am the gate. Now, for us, that doesn't really mean much. Because I say lots of things. I am a husband. I am the minister. I am Neil. We use this I am phrase all the time. But on this day in history when Jesus was teaching, when he used that phrase, I am, he was making a bold statement. Because he was using a phrase, exactly the same phrase that all these Jews knew that God used. Back in Exodus chapter 3, Moses was commanded by God to go to the Israelite nation and go to the Egyptians, and that they were to be set free. And Moses says, who am I? Who am I to go and do this? Who will I say is sending me? God says, I am who I am. That is who is sending you. And Jesus is using the exact same phrase here. So for the Jews standing, they were going, this boy is claiming to be God. I am God, the gate. I am God, the good shepherd. And any wonder, look at verse 20. It's no wonder that the people reacted this way. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and he's raving mad. Why listen to him? Why should we listen to this man? But the answer to that comes in the next verse. Others then said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You see, just back a page, chapter 9, Jesus heals a man born blind. The significance of that, in those days, everyone who had a physical ailment, that physical ailment was linked to some particular sin in their life. They had sinned and something has then happened as a result of that sin. But the man born blind, what was his sin? Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? Why was he blind? They couldn't figure it out. And over the years, they deemed that only the Messiah could perform such a miracle to forgive someone, to heal someone in this way. And Jesus has just done it. These people have witnessed it. They were there. They saw this miracle happen and other miracles happen. They remember the teachings of Jesus. This Jesus man has appeared out of nowhere, and he is teaching like no one has ever taught, with truths that are driving straight into their hearts, the likes of which they have never experienced before. This is the person who is speaking to them. But why has these stories survived? Because they're true. These stories survived in what they call the oral period. For 30 years after Jesus went up into heaven, nothing was written down. Everything was remembered and spoken. But if it wasn't true, it didn't make it through. Only the true stories remained. They were written down for us, and they've been copied and copied and copied and translated, and we have them 2,000 years later. These stories have survived. But there's more to these stories than just the fact that these things happened and we still have the stories today. Because when Jesus walked this earth, people were waiting for him. They were waiting for a Messiah. There were prophecies, loads and loads of prophecies in their Old Testament history, in their Torah, in their law. This prophet was going to come, and Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. People saw these prophecies being fulfilled. Jesus prophesied things about himself. He said, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. These are the people who later on in the story witnessed the cross. And then they saw Jesus resurrected. These people saw what they had been told was going to be fulfilled. They saw the fulfillment of these prophecies before their very eyes in their day. So when Jesus went on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, no one comes to the Father but by me, they believed that because of all the things that they were seeing. They believed what they were seeing, and they believed what was going to happen because Jesus was fulfilling these prophecies. The Jesus of Nazareth story survived because it's true. It was attacked then. It's been attacked in every generation. Every generation of wolves have tried to undermine this story, take the story apart. They've been trying it for 2,000 years, but here it is. It's still here today. A true story. So in this illustration, when Jesus says, listen to me. When he says, I tell you the truth, I believe that Jesus is telling the truth. So if we want to find out truth, I believe Jesus is the place that we should go. Now, to hear the voice of Jesus, we've got to kickstart our hearing. We do that by recognizing that Jesus saves. The shepherd's voice leads us to salvation. Verse 9. Of the passage. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Any other way to try and get into the pen, any other way to try and become a Christian, any other way to try and be reconciled to God is futile. It does not work. Jesus is the only way to be in the pen, the only way to be part of the church of Jesus Christ, the only way to be saved. Because we are all born imperfect. Sin has made us imperfect. And the only way to be made perfect is to have something perfect to fill the gap. And Jesus did that. He says, I laid down my life. Verses 11 and verse 15. He repeats it in this passage. I lay down my life for the sheep. That is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life by being lifted on a cross after being beaten. Nailed to that cross for us. But then he says in verses 17 and 18, I take my life up again. He defeated death. He was resurrected from the grave, defeating death for us so that we should no longer fear it, that we have hope for an eternity after our time here on earth. And he actually says that. If you look at the passage, I could have kept on reading through John chapter 10. I had to stop somewhere. Look at verse 25. Jesus here is talking to people who didn't believe him. He says, I did tell you, but you do not believe the miracles I do in my Father's name. They speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Jesus said this to people who were refusing to believe. There were people who saw these miracles, but they still refused to believe. But amongst those unbelievers, Jesus tells us in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. There are other sheep not in the pen. That continues today. Maybe you're here today and you're hearing the voice of the shepherd telling you, come into the pen. Maybe the voice is telling you that you are not in the pen yet. You might be looking in at the pen thinking, that's quite nice in there. I would like to be in there, but you're not in there. Is the shepherd calling you into his flock today? Are you realizing the truth of this story? Are you realizing that this story is not only true, but that Jesus died for you, for your sin, to make you perfect, to give you the security and the assurances that many of us in this room have today? Well, if that is starting to work out in your mind, I know what's going to be happening in your mind as well. You're going to be bombarded by fake news. Because as we tell the truth, Satan wants to get out with the fake news. The fake news, you don't need Jesus. You can get into this pen. There is another way into the pen. Don't worry about that gate thing. That's only for a certain number of people. Or Satan will be telling you, you don't need this because there's nothing anyway. Once you die, that is it. There is no eternity. What's the point? Fake news. Those things are lies. Don't listen to the thief, the robber, the wolf. Don't listen to Satan. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill any hope that you might have. He wants to destroy an eternity that's there for you. He wants to attack you all the days of your life, make you miserable. Believe the truth. Look at John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people, and he says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is the offer that's on the plate today for all who are outside the flock. To be set free from sin. To put your trust and believe in Jesus. Enter this sheep pen and follow Jesus. Because as a Christian, that's what the voice does. The voice then leads us. Let's look at some of the verses throughout the passage. Look at verse 3 together. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. In verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Then verse 27, which is just a little bit further on, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Have you picked up the theme in this passage? The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the voice. There is a real closeness in this passage. This is a close relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. He knows the sheep by name. In this world where we are bombarded with contradictory opinions and fake news, we have the ability to discern between what is lies and what is truth. We can do that by listening to Jesus and his word. It's one of the first places we can go to hear from Jesus, as we hear about Jesus, full of his examples of how he lived, how he acted, and how he reacted in various different situations. His teaching, we're going to come to that now, God willing, in September as we go to the Sermon on the Mount. We will be challenged as Jesus challenges us to live a certain way in this world in these days. And remember, if this wasn't true, it wouldn't have survived. Other truths have been preached throughout generations. They've been proved to be false, and then other truths have been preached, and then they've been proved to be false. You can take a truth here in Northern Ireland, but go over to France or to India or to South America, and that truth is a lie. because it's all subjective. Truth changes depending on the culture that you're in. But this has never changed. For generations, for thousands of years, it's never changed. Take this Bible to any group of Christians anywhere in the world, and the truth is still the same. This is a good place to go to find truth. Prayer is another good way for us to hear the voice. Yes, hear the voice in prayer. Prayer is not just about us talking to God or asking God for stuff. Prayer is a time whenever we can take quality, quiet time alone with God, with the scriptures, read the scriptures and ask God to speak to us. We can't hear God's voice. It is possible to hear God speaking to you. We take then the things that we've read or the things that we're hearing and we share that with other Christians. We do that in fellowship. We build one another up. We measure what we're reading and what we're hearing with the experience and the wisdom of other Christians around us. But in this, we have to have a word of caution. Jesus also teaches in Matthew 7, verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. From our worldly perspective, there are those who look as if they are in the pen, who look as if they are sheep, but they're not. They're false prophets. They are the wolves that come in to seek and destroy. Peter says there are false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers amongst you, pointing to the future. John says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just because it walks like a sheep and bleats like a sheep, it doesn't mean it's really a sheep. There are people who masquerade as Christians. There could be people in this room today masquerading as Christians. Some people think they are Christians, but they're not. They don't understand the truth. They don't understand the miracles. They don't see God at work and actually believe that it is God at work. Miraculous things happen around us, but people refuse to believe. People who say they're Christians refuse to believe that God is at work because they're not in the pen. They think they are, but they're not. But there are those who say they are in the pen to get into the congregation, to wily their way in. But they're only here to seek to destroy and undermine the work of God. So we've got to be on our guard. We've got to be careful. We've got to keep the wolf at bay. And we do that by keeping our conversations flowing between ourselves, talking about what God is saying, so that when we hear something that's wrong, we know how to stand up against it because we've measured it against the word of God. We must keep the conversation flowing. The more that we talk with Jesus, the more that we will be able to hear his voice, the more we will be able then to discern truth from lies. But when we have a truth discerned, it brings a challenge to us. Because when we hear truth then from the shepherd, we must follow him then. We have to follow him. Verses 3 and 4, he calls the sheep by name. He leads them out into the world. He goes ahead of them. And the sheep, the Christians, they follow. Whenever we have a truth discerned, it will affect us in different ways. There may be a truth that we discern, or something, piece of information that we discern to be a lie, but it has no effect on us at all, no personal effect. For example, Donald Trump said, I'm using him because he's the big fake news man in the news, isn't it? It's all about Donald Trump. He talks about fake news all the time. So Donald Trump said, that's a question mark for us all now, because there are those people who have put words in Donald Trump's mouth that he never said. There are things that were online that he never said. But then, of course, there's things that he did say that he said he didn't. So there's fake news out there. But if I find out that Donald Trump did or didn't say something, that is information that I now know to be truth or a lie. Doesn't affect me at all. I just know that. So that's okay. That's one way of discerning truth. But then there's things that go on in the world, debates about morality. And I think about them. And then I come to the Bible. And then I have an opinion about what's going on in the world. But it doesn't affect me directly. But it may affect the conversation that I'm in. The big ones at the minute is how we treat life at the beginning of life, how we treat life at the end of life, and how we marry in the middle of that life. Those are big debates where there are biblical truths, where the shepherd speaks into these debates. None of these things affect me unless you're trying to bump me off or anything. Not yet. Too young. 10 years. 10 years. None of these things affect me, but I have to have an opinion about them. But then there are truths that may change how we live our lives, challenge what we do. And this, friends, is where the rubber hits the road. The truth affects us. The truth affects me as I read it. Because it affects me and it tells me that I've got to be a better husband than I am. It tells me I've got to be a better father than I am. A better minister than I am. Because we're not yet perfect. God's working in us. And when we hear truth, that truth must be reflected in our lives. We must be better husbands, better wives, better fathers, mothers, children, brothers, sisters, co-workers, neighbors. We must be better at all of these things because there's truths that we have not got right yet. And the shepherd leads us out into this world and he tells us the truth, and it must reflect in our lives. It must reflect in our pockets. What is the truth about your finances? What is the truth about your time? Is it all for Jesus? Or is it small for Jesus? If you want to go on the internet, there's a lovely, it's a really funny parody of lots of the hymns that we sing about God and about what we really mean. I surrender all, or I surrender small. Go and have a wee look at that and actually then realize, oh, maybe those are the songs I should be singing. The things that we do and the things that we don't do, these are truths that affect our lives. The truth we hear from Jesus must be evident. Information that we discern as truth or lies to be believed or dismissed shapes and molds our lives. Should shape and mold our lives. Because we have a truth to go out and share with people who don't come into church. Some non-Christians come into church. Some are in this room today. Some have no interest in coming in this door, so we must go out. When Jesus says there are sheep that are not of this pen, I will bring them in also, he leads us out to them. So that we can live that truth and share that truth. And in a couple of weeks when we come back, we're going to concentrate and look at what it means to speak no evil. To be the instruments of the shepherd in saving the lost and bringing the lost to the truth of Jesus Christ. Hearing no evil, it's impossible. Discerning truth is absolutely possible. It is our calling. It is what we are meant to do. We do it by listening to the shepherd. So let's listen. Let's listen closely. Let's listen intently. And let us then live truthfully. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the truth of your scriptures today. And we pray that they would be impressed upon our hearts. Not just as words in our head, but truths in our hearts that shape us and mold us to be like our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.